In the last 10 years, our field has gone from an unknown specialty to a household name. This brings unprecedented opportunities, but we need to rise up to meet them and give our patients the care that they deserve. In order to help others get better, we need to be better. This podcast will help you to become more confident with your patients, more successful in your practice or business, and a leader in pelvic health. And we're going to have some fun along the way. Join us as we rise together. We're Jesse and Nicole Cozine, founders of Pelvic Sanity Physical Therapy and the creators of the Pelvic PT Huddle. And this is Pelvic PT Rising.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Pelvic PT Rising podcast with Jesse and Nicole Cozine. Hey Nicole.
Hello.
We are talking today, am I ready to hire an admin? So for those of you guys who are business owners, for who are wannabes, we will get this question a lot. And actually, this is one thing, Nicole, our thinking on has changed a lot over the years.
Yeah, it's changed considerably, actually. And I think the reason why we've changed is because we've seen the benefits of hiring an admin sooner rather than later from ourselves, and also across the more than 500 businesses that we've worked with in the pelvic health space. But there are still some specific things that you need to ask yourself to answer the question for you, are you actually ready to hire?
So we're going to dive into all of that. Before we do, just a couple of quick announcements. We have, Nicole, your Vagus Nerve Masterclass is coming up here. This is going to be freaking exciting. So make sure you guys are on the wait list for that. It's going to drop on the 23rd of this month. Get on the wait list at pelvicptrising.com/Vegas. Nicole keeps telling me I don't have to spell it, even though I have a weird compulsion to spell it.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to do that. I'm going to trust you guys to figure it out. But Nicole, the people who can't spell Vegas are the ones who need this course the most. Maybe I should just spell it for them.
Okay, do it, Jesse.
It's V-A-G-U-S.
It is. Yay, everyone. Give Jesse a round of applause
for the proper spelling
of the anatomical nerve.
Yes. So that is there. We just have wrapped up our Rising retreat, finished that off with an amazing boat ride with 30 plus pelvic health business owners. And so we are ready to talk about this. That's all I've got for announcements. So things to think about when you're wondering if you're ready to hire an admin. And, you know, one of the things that we've taught as we do all of our training, Nicole, and mentorship, I really like the idea of breaking the cost of an admin down into how many patients per week would you need to see in order to basically pay for that person's time? Because I think sometimes it gets a little bit, just the big number starts to get a little bit scary, right? It's like, oh, if I'm paying $20 an hour for somebody who is 40 hours a week, that's going to be at least $40,000 a year, then payroll taxes and stuff on top. I'm getting kind of close to $50,000. I'm not ready to pay $50,000. Therefore, I'm not ready for an admin.
Yes. And that is where the math can really start to, even though that math is technically correct, it starts to just become really overwhelming. And you have to make sure that you are breaking down the math into a reasonable chunk so that you can actually make sense of it. It's like, what is this going to do for you on a weekly basis? Because essentially what you're doing when you are hiring an admin, you are taking on more responsibility, and we'll go into that here in a second. But the reality is that you're buying time and you're buying help. And so how much is that help and how much is that time is it costing you? And if you break it down that way, then it really works out to be, if we're assuming around $20 an hour, which in your area might be a little bit above or below what is actually you need, then overall that really leads to about 4.5 patients per week and for 40 hours of admin help. And that's assuming what, a $200 session?
Yeah, about $200 per session, right? So again, do your own math with this. Your mileage may vary, but basically what you're doing is you're trading 4 or 5 hours a week for 40 hours of admin help. And that admin might and probably won't be as efficient as you are at these things, certainly not when they first start. They might be better at some things than you are, but It's basically you're trading time for money. You know how much we hate that? Now you're trading money for time. So you're being able to do that. You're being able to focus more on the things that you love in the business, either that you enjoy or that are going to move the business forward. And so that's really the calculation that you're making. So we're advising people on whether or not to hire an admin. I think one of the first things, Nicole, is to just understand yourself and what your goal is for the business. And are you planning to grow beyond yourself? Or are you really planning to settle into happy as a little clam by yourself and live life as a solopreneur? And I think if you're planning to grow beyond yourself, this is where our advice has changed over the years. I'm almost then looking for an excuse. When can I hire an admin? Because that's going to be a massive accelerator in your business. It's going to give you back time to focus on higher leverage things in the business. It's going to let you see more patients to kind of build that caseload. It's going to give you the time that you need to go out and create a hiring pipeline and find a clinician if you're going to grow. So if you're planning to grow beyond yourself, we're almost looking for an excuse like, oh, shoot, am I ready now to hire an admin? Can I do it yet? It is a little bit different when you are, you might want to be thinking about this a little bit differently if you're planning on being a solopreneur and not growing. So imagine that from the very beginning, but that's the first thing that we're really asking, Nicole.
Yes. And then the second thing we're also asking is do you need a true admin, like patient care coordinator, or do you just need help with some admin type tasks? And that's where the, you know, you really got to assess your situation and you need to assess what you're good at and where you want to go in your business. But a lot of times I think we conflate those two things and we say, oh, we need admin help. And we're not really taking stock of what do we actually need help with and what do I actually like? What am I good at? What do I want to delegate? What don't I want to delegate? And so because sometimes the answer is you're still hiring somebody, but you may not be hiring a patient care coordinator. You're literally going to hire somebody that is helping you on a project basis with other admin tasks, which sometimes is easier to outsource to other types of people on things like Upwork or Fiverr or even just a local person, a college age kid to help you a couple days a week doing something versus actually taking on the task of hiring a full-time or even part-time true patient care coordinator or admin staff that's going to help.
Right. Really, the big distinction there is, are you planning on having this person answer your phones and talk to patients, right? If so, that's a patient care coordinator, that's a front desk, that's somebody who is really what we're talking about here. Do I just need somebody to send out some prescriptions or mail some thank you letters? Like, great. That is your neighbor's high school kid who can come in one Friday a month for a couple hours. And we've done both, right? So if you're saying, oh man, I really need admin help because these thank you notes are taking too long or all of these prescriptions are taking a long time, those aren't really integral to the business. They're not generally that time sensitive. That's something that a helper might be more appropriate for. But if you're like, hey, I'm actually ready to take this step, have somebody answering my phones, have somebody moving my schedule around, have somebody converting, have somebody filling my wait list and my cancels, then that's what a true front desk patient care coordinator position is. And that's really what we're going to be talking about for the remainder of the episode is like, are you ready for that? So if you're planning on growing beyond yourself, particularly, you're thinking about, can I do this and how do I do this as soon as I really can? First question for you is it financially safe? Are you hitting your business minimums? Are you at a point where you could safely float that person's wages? Because it is taking on a big responsibility when you are now not just responsible for your own livelihood, but for somebody else's. And so you want to be thinking, is this financially safe? If you don't know what we're talking about when we say hitting your business minimums, you got to start working with us in our programs. I think we have a podcast about that as well. But like, are you doing what you need to do in the business in order to provide for yourself and your family?
And then the other thing that we want to remind you all here, is this financially safe? Is what you're doing when you're hiring this position is a lot of times we think of it as a non-revenue generating position. And we used to think about this like this for a long time as well, until we flipped our mindset and we actually realized that this position is quite integral to a lot of businesses and it can be revenue generating, just not in the same way that a clinician is. And so you also have to look on you know, making sure that it is financially quote unquote safe, but also what the upside is of the financial benefit of having somebody answer the phones for you and convert patients that isn't yourself, and what, how much time are they able to buy you essentially back? They do generate revenue just in different ways.
Absolutely. That's a fantastic point. And we see this a lot of people who have gotten to the point where they're really busy. Maybe they have a wait list. And now all of a sudden I'm asking like, hey, how many patient slots do you have? And they say 20 a week. And I said, well, cool. Then on your numbers here, why have you only seen 16? Well, I had, you know, 4 late cancellations. And because I'm in with patients all day, I don't even see them. And now I'm twiddling my thumbs and wondering why, you know, Laura didn't show up. And she had actually sent an email 6 hours before. Those 4 spots could be filled by your admin. And if that's the case, then that admin literally paid for themselves that week, right? That's how they can be generating revenue. The other way is if they are offloading the admin task that you're doing, maybe you do add in 2 more patient care hours or 4 more patient care hours. They allow you to do that because they're taking off so much from your plate that you're now able to do that without feeling burned out or stressed about it as you go forward. So, first question, is it financially safe? Next thing, do you have room in the clinic? And I've heard the people out there talking about using VAs and doing this remotely. To be honest, it's the exception to the rule if it works out, right? And there's several people in our mentorship program who do this. Full disclosure, I've used VAs before for my own stuff, still do, but not for things like talking to patients when there's just so many downsides to that, when they're not in the room, when you can't hear what they're saying, when you can't really train or trust that they're doing what they say they're going to be doing. Again, sometimes you can find a diamond in the rough, and it's not saying it's not for everybody, and sometimes you just don't even have room to do it. But generally, you are going to be much better off with a true smiling face, face of your practice in the clinic who's able to greet patients. You're able to talk with them. You're able to train them. It just is so much better when they're actually physically in your space.
Absolutely. And just the other intangible things, just to have somebody greet patients when you are actually in the treatment room with another person. And don't overthink the amount of space that you need. We had an admin or a front desk patient care coordinator in our very small waiting room for a lot of years at Pelvic Sanity. And it can be as simple as a desk with a computer, and it doesn't have to be this elaborate space. A lot of people were overthinking like the space needs for this type of position. And it really does help to have that person be in the clinic with you, if at all possible.
100%. All they need is a desk. They don't need a bathroom and a kitchenette, and they're not moving in here, guys. So be thinking about that. Do you have the knowledge to train them? That's my third question here. And this is a caution against trying to outsource this before you understand the role that you're hiring for. And I think some people do this a little bit too early. I think most people generally wait until too late to hire admin help. We certainly did. Most of the people we mentor have. But occasionally you see somebody who's on the other end of that spectrum who starts their business as like, shoot, I'm ready to do this right now. I need to go ahead and bring someone on. And we are usually pumping the brakes on that until you have had the reps to know what you say on the phone, to know what your scripts are, to know about the job that you're hiring out. Because until you do that, you're not going to be able to train somebody. And the person who's coming on board, you can't abdicate the responsibility for deciding what you want to say on the scripts, for thinking about how you want people to feel when they come into the waiting room. You can't just abdicate that and hope that the person you hire is going to somehow magically figure that stuff out. That is your job.
Yeah.
And then you need to be able to train that into somebody else.
Absolutely. So again, and this is what we see sometimes when you're on that end of the spectrum that are just like jonesing and chomping at the bit to do this. What that really means sometimes is that you feel super uncomfortable doing it yourself. You want to completely abdicate the responsibility under the guise of pretending that you're delegating. And really what this is it you're still leading the person, you're still delegating tasks to them, you're still overseeing them, you're still very much in control of that entire process. Your role is just different, and you're not doing the actual task itself, but there is still a lot of time essentially associated with making sure that that's done well, with your ethos in mind and how you want your business to run. So it's not a, oh my gosh, hurry up and hire this out because I'm not good at it, or I don't know what to do, or I need somebody else to do it for me. It's like you still need to take that responsibility and you need to have the reps to do it yourself before you can expect somebody else to do it for you.
And make sure when you bring someone on that you are creating the time and bandwidth to hire and onboard them well. So going exactly along with what Nicole was saying about not abdicating your responsibility, like you can't just throw someone onto the phone and expect them to do a good job. Your training cannot just be 4 hours of, hey, here's my EMR and here's the phone system. Any questions? Right? This is a long process. We are talking about weeks to months before we really feel like somebody is truly up to speed. And I think a lot of times the temptation is we usually wait to hire somebody until we're crazy busy, until we have really no other choice. And then you don't want to decrease your patient hours. And so all of a sudden you're throwing this person into the deep end and then wondering why they're struggling, wondering why they are frustrated. And a lot of times that eventually means that you end up having to let that person go, not because they weren't a good hire or a good fit, but because you didn't spend the time you needed to up front to train them.
Absolutely. That is something to a lot of times when we see this quote unquote fail or not go the way that you anticipated, it really is about that onboarding process and the time that you spent. And that just goes back to making sure that you're not so busy and over your head with all of the tasks that you end up just saying, okay, here, help me. And then you just focus only on patient care. That's not how business ownership works. And that's not how a true leader is. And that's what you're doing when you're having somebody come in and work with you at your clinic.
That is, I think that is probably the biggest point with all of this, Nicole, is we always say that the decision to hire and grow beyond yourself is just as big as starting your own practice. And it does. It's going to change your role at the practice from doing everything to being a leader, to being somebody who is leading a team, who is running payroll, who is figuring that stuff out, who is managing. And all of that stuff is a big role change. It's a shift. It's a different responsibility when you're responsible not just for your own livelihood, but for somebody else. And it's a big stressor for a lot of people. So you got to make sure that your ducks are in a row. You've got to make sure that you're financially safe. And you've got to make sure that you make it as successful as possible by allocating the time you need to train the person that you're bringing on board. You owe that to somebody who's going to be working for you.
Yes. So now, what if somebody is thinking about this and they're just like, oh my gosh, I don't think I'm ready at all. You know, what would you say to that person?
Well, there's so many different questions that I would have to ask about that. Is, are they planning to grow beyond themselves? Are they really not ready? What makes them feel not ready? But I think one thing that is helpful here, if you know that this is the right step and you're kind of dragging your feet, or you're feeling like you're just not ready as a person, as a business owner, one of the things I would always ask in all of our stuff, Nicole, is this scary or is it dangerous? So a lot of times this is a way to kind of get out of our own heads about like, well, what is the worst case? Let's go down that road for a second. Let's say you do hire somebody and you bring them into the front desk and you do your best to train them, but you don't do a great job, or they're not picking up what you're putting down, and you realize 3 months in that they're just not going to be the right fit. You end up letting them go, or they end up realizing that they're not a good fit and they end up leaving. And that's the worst thing that happens. Right? So is that really dangerous to the business? As long as you're looking at your finances correctly, no, it's really not. But that is scary, and that turns a lot of people away. So if you ask yourself, is it scary or is it dangerous? Am I holding myself back because I'm worried about all these what ifs? Well, the worst thing that happens is that it just doesn't work out. And you let them know that. It's not an easy conversation to let somebody go, but it is necessary sometimes. But if that's the absolute worst thing that can happen, you can't let the fear of that scary situation, hold you back from doing the things that you know are going to help you grow.
Yes, because, and I will say this, that overwhelmingly, the vast majority of people that we've seen that decide that they want to grow beyond themselves or decide that they need admin help, it's been an overwhelmingly positive experience in the long run. And we now coach that we would rather have you do this sooner rather than later.
We've never once, I think, had anybody who was like, man, now that I have my admin, I wish I'd waited a couple more months to get all that help in there. And the fun part is when you bring that person on and you've got them trained, and the first time they're out sick or out on vacation and you have to do all of that stuff again, you look to yourself and you're like, how the hell was I ever doing this all by myself? Like, that's an interesting moment when you're just like, wait a second, like, this used to be my week, right? Is running around trying to answer all these phone calls, get back to all these people, reschedule all these things while still seeing 20 patients and doing documentation and trying to market and all of those different things. So it's really amazing when you get used to that and it's not there, you see exactly how valuable it is. So I hope this has been helpful for those of you guys who are thinking about hiring an admin or who are in that wannabe phase as you get going. We always want to hear from you guys. And if this is something where you are looking to take your business to the next level, that is what our accelerator program is for. We've got a new cohort of that launching in June. So make sure that you guys are on the waitlist for that. If you're an existing business owner and you're looking to do that, that's at pelvicptrising.com/accelerator, which is objectively more difficult, Nicole, to spell than Vegas, but I never feel like I need to spell accelerator for people.
That's where spell check could come in, I guess.
Yes. So if you mess it up, it does have two C's in it. So guys, I really appreciate each and every one of you who is listening. Hope this has been helpful. If you have questions, please reach out. We'd love to keep this conversation going.
And let's continue to rise.